Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
On our way to our next conversation, I'm going to remind you about something that you want to pass up. The Creative City Public Charter School is a new progressive elementary school located in the Park Heights community that uses hands-on learning and arts integration. It's now accepting applications for kindergarten through the second grade. Lottery application deadline is March the 1st. More information available at www.creativecityschool.org. We're about to have a conversation about Bradley Manning. We are joined on the phone here by Kevin Zeis. Kevin Zeis is co-director of itsoureconomy.us. He's co-host of Clearing the Fog, a radio program on WEAC Radio, 1480 AM in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the steering committee of the Bradley Manning Support Network. And Kevin, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Take us back for a moment before because as much as some people may not think about it, many people, when I said, we're going to talk about Bradley Manning spending 1,000 days in jail.
That's right.
And people said, who?
Exactly. No, I think they've done a really good job of suppressing discussion of this case in the media. In fact, the media is very confused about it, even those who try to cover it, because so much of the documents are kept secret. The judge's orders are read from the bench, and you don't really get to read them, so you just get to hear them. It's a very strange trial, and so the media has been kept in the dark, and as a result, the public is confused and unaware about it. But Bradley Manning is best known as the WikiLeaks leaker. The video he released, collateral murder video through WikiLeaks, showed U.S. soldiers in Iraq killing reporters and civilians, almost looking like they were enjoying it. It was really an ugly video. And then he released some major documents, the Iraq war logs, the Afghan war logs, and the diplomatic entries. And all these were daily reports from U.S. State Department officials, people on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan, and give an incredible image of what our country is doing in our foreign policy. And it's a real shame that there's not been more focus on those documents, because they show us things that we really need to know. You know, take, for example, Hillary Clinton. She's now kind of the president-to-be as far as the media is concerned. If she wants it, she can have it. But the WikiLeaks documents show she's really not someone we should be considering for president. As Secretary of State, she signed off on a document that ordered U.S. diplomats to spy on diplomats coming to the United Nations, to gather things like photographs of their eyes for iris scans, to gather credit cards and frequent flyer numbers and all sorts of personal information at the direction of the CIA. That, by the way, is illegal. The United States is not allowed to spy on diplomats coming to the United States, and we are spying on the General Secretary. And so this is just something that one of the many things that she's in these documents discovered doing. During the Arab Spring in Egypt, she was pushing Omar Suleiman to take the place in Mubarak. Suleiman, WikiLeaks documents showed, was the torturer-in-chief for Mubarak. And when the U.S. Sent people to be tortured by rendition to Egypt, he was the person we sent them to. And he actually got involved in the torture. He didn't just supervise it. In some cases, he actually did it. And Clinton, Hillary was pushing this guy to take the place in Mubarak. And you can see in our foreign policy from the State Department tables that it's all about helping the profits of transnational corporations. It's really, showed that she's not the kind of person we want as president. And yet, because the media has not discussed this case, she's the heir apparent, and none of these negative realities of her policy positions and her actions are discussed in the media. And Bradley Manning sits there for 1,000 days waiting to go to trial. He'll be in jail 3 years when the trial finally starts. It's the longest anyone has ever gone through a pretrial detention before going to trial. So the Speedy Trial Act's been violated.
and it has.
Yes.
It has. But let's talk about Bradley Manning for a minute. I mean, and what's happened to him in the course of all this? I mean, we can talk about what people, and folks can join us here at 410-319-8888, write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com, jump onto our Facebook page. But and your thoughts on it, because some people could argue, well, he leaked stuff to Assange, and he should pay for it. We can talk about that in a moment, whether or not that's a reality from Kevin's point of view. But talk about what's happened to him, in these last 1,000 days.
Of that 1,000 days that he served so far, and those 3 years he'll serve before he goes to trial, about a third of it, that 1 year, will have been in solitary confinement, 9 months in Quantico and several months before that in the Middle East. He was held in an 8x8 jail cell inside a tent in the Middle East. He thought he was going to die in that jail cell. They kept him awake during the day, kept him awake at night, and had him sleeping during the day. In Quantico in Virginia, he was awakened at 5 in the morning, not allowed to go to bed till 10 at night, and he was not allowed to lie down in the cell or sit up leaning against the wall. And that's just two of many aspects of the torturous conditions he was kept in. So he was basically kept in a torturous situation for almost a year. The judge in the case has found that the military violated their own rules, and they kept him that way, and has taken something like 120 days off of his potential sentence for that misbehavior. So she has found at least a violation of the law there pretrial confinement situation. It took a lot of demonstrations and protests. It took hundreds of law professors writing President Obama, including his constitutional law professor at Harvard. It took an assistant secretary of state resigning in order to get Manning put into the appropriate pretrial detention where he's been for the last couple of years. And that's been appropriate. But he was basically tortured for a year. And that's part of that 1,000 days.
Kevin, this is Anthony McCarthy. Good to talk to you. Hey, I'm very curious. You know what the narrative is, and a lot of our listeners are probably wondering about the classified nature of the documents and the punishment. So explain that for folks who are saying, wait a minute. Assange has made a name for himself. He's become an iconic figure. He's, of course, for all intents and purposes, being a prisoner to his own advocacy. But for folks who are pushing back on this Bradley case, talk to us about.
Sure. I think it's important to know that. That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. Basically, the documents that he's accused of leaking are very low-level intelligence documents. They're raw data. They're reports from the field. They're raw reports from diplomatic cables. They're not high-level security. In fact, hundreds of thousands of people had access to these documents before Manning leaked them. And he does admit leaking them, so he's not denying that, by the way. So these documents are very low-level. There's been no evidence of any harm to any individual in the United States, no harm to any troops, no harm to any diplomats. There have been multiple reviews done by the CIA, the FBI, the State Department, the White House, the Department of Justice, looking for evidence of some kind of negative impact on our national security, and there has been none. What there has been embarrassment, because you see things like Hillary Clinton violating the law. You see things, the good, bad, the ugly, and the illegal of U.S. foreign policy. And there is a lot of good in there, too, by the way. I say in some cases, you look at those diplomatic cables, and you see that our diplomats really do a fine job of knowing what's going on in these various countries, and not just knowing what the major players are doing, what the minor players are doing, what the citizens are talking about. They're very aware of what's going on, so they do look pretty good in some cases. But it shows illegal activity, unethical activity. It doesn't show anything that it's not like troop movements. These came out years after the events occurred, so it's not like they're telling people troop movements. They're not telling U.S. top secret foreign policy, the kind of thing that Daniel Ellsberg leaked during Vietnam, the Pentagon Papers, that was a very high-level secret document. These are very low-level that lots of people had access to and really did not have an adverse national security effect except to show the truth about U.S. foreign policy. And Manning, by the way, said that in conversations, chats online with the guy who turned him in, he said that the purpose of releasing the documents was to start a debate in the United States. So people knew what was going on. So as a democracy, we could discuss how our foreign policy should be. The person who turned him in tried to convince him to sell the documents to another country like Iran or China. And then he said, no, this is information that the public should have. I'm not interested in making money. I want to see a better America. When I saw Manning testify in court, what I saw was a guy who was very patriotic, who really believed that the United States could be a good force for good in the country, a guy who loved his country, who did this because he wanted to improve the country. And that's a totally different image than you get from the media and the way they've covered. They focus on him being gay, him having sexual issues, him having an alcoholic father, all that nonsense, rather than what he really stood up for, why he did this, and what the document showed. And that's what we should be debating, is our foreign policy off track or on track? These documents show it's off track, and that needs to be discussed.
I just want to ask one more quick question, Kevin, because there's been a lot of coverage on, and I think you're right. I think that oftentimes we will assign that the media has no bias or in this game. But there has been a lot about this narrative put forth about his sexuality and also his mental state.
Right.
And a lot of questions about his sanity and questions, obviously, about the treatment that he's getting, contributing to certain issues or, I guess, writing about.
Well, that's another great – boy, Anthony, you're asking good questions because –
That's why they pay me so much money here. go ahead, Kevin.
I know how radio is.
That's right.
You know, the reality is that, the suicidal issues that mm-hmm. came up were after he was held in an 8x8 cage, literally a cage, like you go to a zoo and see, an 8x8 cage in the Middle East, being kept up during the daytime, sleeping at night, having his cage searched multiple times a day, and I mean searched by things thrown apart, moved all, you know, just totally messed up. And then they started to criticize him for not putting it all back and getting suicidal. He thought he was going to die in that cage. He had no allies. He was not in communication with anybody, no legal support, nothing going on to provide any kind of support to him. And then they accuse him of being crazy. They drive him crazy, and then they accuse him of being crazy. It's just absolutely absurd. When I saw him testifying in court, you could see what a catch-22 he was in. You know, if he talked about how he felt, they would use that against him. If he didn't talk about how he felt, they would use that against him. No matter what he did, the intention at Quantico was to torture him. And so whether he talked or didn't talk, whether he was cooperative or not cooperative, you know, no matter what he did, it was used against him. So and that's the kind of stuff that gets leaked into the media and gets turned around, and it's just nonsense. The guy has an incredibly strong personality. I'm amazed. When he testified for 9 hours on the witness stand at Quantico, you saw a guy who was very composed, very solid, very smart, even had a sense of humor. Very strong character. I was very impressed by what I saw, much different than the media description of what we've read about in the corporate media that seems to want to focus on his issue of being gay and his problems with his father.
Kevin, we have only about 3 minutes left in this segment. Let me go a quick call here, 410-319-8888. John, you're on the air. We have about 3 minutes left here.
Good evening. I served in the military for 28 years. I voluntarily served. I signed a contract that I would do some responsibilities. Why is Mr. Manning any different?
He's not. In fact, I think he's acted very responsibly. You know, the Nuremberg trials showed that if you're a part of a conspiracy to violate the law, you are guilty. Following orders is no excuse. And so Bradley Manning is put in a situation where he saw the United States violating the law in many, many ways. And he had to choose between whether to obey the secrecy agreement that he signed or obey a higher law, which really said we should not be committing war crimes. I think he made the right choice. And that's the kind of debate we need to have in this country. Should people in the military be put in situations where they're involved in war crimes, or should they be able to somehow bring that out? He tried to go up the chain of command, by the way, at the first instance of misbehavior, and his chain of command said, I don't want to hear about that, don't tell me about it, just do your job. And so he was basically shut down from telling the truth. And so we saw reporters being killed almost as targets by U.S. soldiers and released that video. When he saw documents that showed criminal activity, war crimes, unethical behavior, acting on behalf of corporations rather than on behalf of the people, he released all the documents. Now, what's great about releasing all the documents is the media then can go through them and decide how to protect national security and how to tell the whole story. We got to see everything. As I said, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the illegal. It gave us a glimpse of what our foreign policy really is, and that's very important.
We're talking to Kevin Zeese. Kevin Zeese is a member of the steering committee of the Bradley Manning Support Network, co-director of its arteconomy.us, and co-host of Clearing the Fog with Margaret Flowers, a radio program on WEAC Radio at 1480 AM in Washington, D.C. He joins us here to talk about an update on the Bradley Manning case. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot. Visit BradleyManning.org to get more information, and please get involved. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you.